The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
I'm Tony Hendra, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. Our podcast this week reflects the mood we're all in 1 year on. Nothing accomplished, no idea where we're headed, nothing exciting on the horizon. We're certainly not great again, not even feeling great in this season of great good cheer. What the hell is there to be thankful for? We're pissed off at all the same things we've been pissed off at all year, and what pisses us off more is that there's nothing new to be pissed off at. No truly terrible disaster has occurred, but nor has anything fine or inspiring. Truth is, nothing much has happened other than that we're going to have some really dumbass judges for the rest of our lives. So look on the bright side. By the end of the first year of Cheney and his dummy, they'd allowed 9/11 to happen, probably intentionally, and got us into a war we're still fighting and yet again losing. So, let us cheer you up with hilarious sketches about murdered turkeys, the hideous things in our food, why God hates the environment, the new look of maximum security facilities, the sad fate of cats in these sorely reduced times, John Kelly's plan for a military takeover, and lone gunmen. Not just one sketch about them, but two. Hey, write to me at tonyhendra@gmail.com and tell me which one you like best. Oh, and I almost forgot. Do-it-yourself adult diapers. Yep, it's going to be a right old riot here at the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome to convention check-in. Name, please.
No name. Lone gunman.
Let's see. Lone gunman.
Lone. Not Lorne. Lone gunman. You know, like the Lone Ranger?
I'm sorry, Mr. Ranger.
Gunman! Mr. Gunman.
Okay. Party of one?
No! Party of 65? What part of lone don't you understand?
I'm sorry, sir, but we already have a lone gunman inside.
I was told I was the only lone gunman registered.
Me too.
Me three. Look at all the dudes online carrying AR-15s.
We can't all be lone gunmen. I was first.
You don't own the concept.
I have a patent pending.
Yeah, what? You have a mental problem pending.
We all have a mental problem pending.
What gives you the right to call yourself a lone gunman?
A little thing called the Second Amendment.
Oh, Christ.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the NRA, the right of gunmen with mental problem to call themselves lone shall not be infringed.
Are you guys gonna go in? 50 more lone gunmen just walked in here.
It is the fastest growing job category in the United States.
Sorry, guys. I'm not going in unless it's just me.
I'm not going in with these two. You can't have three gunmen on one newscast.
It's just not done.
If I can't shoot up the place by myself, I'm not killing anyone!
Me neither!
Well, if that's how you feel... How do you like that?
Our founding fathers knew it from the start. They knew it somewhere deep inside their heart. Our freedoms aren't given to us by man. The rules of make are made long ago. So I'm a member of the NRA.
And now, a fond look back at exactly 1 year ago when... Well, you'll see.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President-elect of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
People, I am here today to shine a spotlight on a group of victims, good people who have been forced into the shadows. That is going to stop. Believe me. Last week, President Obama pardoned another turkey, the eighth in 8 years, and he did it in front of cameras. The man has no shame. Here he is.
They'll get to live out their natural lives at a new facility called Gobbler's Rest, where students and veterinarians will care for them. And so let's get on with the pardoning, because it's Wednesday afternoon and everyone knows that Thanksgiving traffic can put people in a foul mood. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Let's go pardon these turkeys. Come on, guys, come on.
And he was joking about it the whole time. Did you hear that? He thinks it's a joke, and we don't even know who these turkeys are. They come to this country from Turkey, I assume, but we don't know. They could be from the Middle East, anywhere. We don't know. And these turkeys that are coming here, they are not the best and finest. Believe you me, they bring drugs, they're criminals, they're rapists, and some I assume are good turkeys. But there's no vetting. We don't know who they are. Well, we're gonna do things differently from here on out. I guarantee you that. When Obama pardons these turkeys, he's always like, oh, they're going to a facility, some gobbler house or something. But the truth is, we don't know where they are. They're out on the streets, committing crimes, raping and killing people. And your leaders do nothing about it, except to pardon more turkeys next year. Countless Americans have been victimized by these turkeys, and I have some of them with me today. You won't hear their stories in the mainstream press. They're the victims of turkeys just like the one Obama just turned loose. Nobody hears the cries of these people, but I will. And I've invited several here to speak. Now they can tell their stories. Come on over to the mic, you. Go ahead.
My name is Monroe Kelly, and my son was killed by turkeys. The very ones Obama pardoned in 2010. He was brutally beaten and murdered, and then his body was basted and cooked for 4 hours at 350 degrees. I'll never forget that smell. This doesn't quite make sense.
Thank you. You're so brave to come forward. How about you, ma'am? Don't be afraid.
Yes. I was raped by a turkey. Seriously? Do you want...
Just read it. She's very emotional. Please, continue.
I was raped by one of Obama's turkeys. It was terrible. I'll never forget that red thing they have hanging down and the way it laughed as it said, Barack says hi. Oh, come on. I can't...
She can't continue, folks. I'm so sorry for your loss. Folks, the turkey pardon stop as of right now, and we're gonna build a wall between us and Turkey. I guarantee that after I am president, you aren't going to hear any more stories about people being raped or killed by turkeys. We're making America great again. Thank you.
This message has been paid for by Butterball Incorporated.
Butterball from Swift. 'Tis truly plump and juicy.
Welcome to Queedy's. May I take your order?
Yeah, I'll have a double burger and a medium Coke.
That'll be 1,000 calories.
What'd you say? How much do I owe you?
Nothing. It's just 1,000 calories.
I don't care. How much do I owe?
We don't charge money at Queedy's. We just tell you exactly what's in your food.
I'd rather just pay the money.
And you wanted a medium Coke?
Yeah, make it a large.
That'll be 65 grams of high fructose corn syrup and 1 gram of unidentified flavoring known as Merchandise 7X. Here's what's in the hamburger bun.
I don't want to know.
Azodicarbonamide, which is also used to make yoga mats and shoe rubber.
You done?
The hamburger is 30% fat and may contain camel.
I will pay you double if you just get me the food and don't tell me anything about it.
But it's free. Do you want fries? The fries contain sodium acid pyrophosphate and dimethyl pyrosulfate. I can't pronounce this, but they use it in Silly Putty.
Yes, I want the fries. I want a large fry.
You want a cookie?
You're fucking right, I want a cookie.
Now, the cookies have sodium bicarbonate, monocalcium phosphate, and sodium aluminum sulfate. It's just baking powder.
Look, I can't change what I eat, all right? I've had a long day driving a school bus, not turning around and killing some of the softer kids. And all I thought about the whole time was a burger. I don't want to think about other terrible crap that I can't control. So the only thing you're doing here is just making me feel bad. Just take my money. I prefer that to the information.
All right. I'm sorry. If that's how you want it. This is your credit card?
Yes.
Wells Fargo?
Yes. Why?
No reason.
I'm just so happy we can all be together this year. The whole family. Even Billy. Tammy, thanks for bringing your traditional dishes with the little Santas on them. It wouldn't be Thanksgiving without them. I made ambrosia for dessert with a new turkey mold from Bed Bath & Beyond.
Hey, maybe after dinner we can play Parcheesi.
Sure, Sammy. And I want you all to remember to take your sweaters with you. You know, Mom knits all year.
Mm-hmm.
This year she needed a picture of an elk with a stream, is it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Oh, and Tammy and Sammy, thanks for putting the plastic sleigh up on the roof. It looks super.
No prob, Dad. Hey, I brought the Yule Log DVD.
Great. Look forward to that tonight, right after Wassling. What's the matter, Billy? You've been very quiet this evening.
My name is Bill, Dad. Dad, Mom, I have something to say.
It can wait till after dinner, I'm sure.
No, it can't. It's been waiting too long. And if I don't say it now, I don't know if I'll ever be able to say it.
Billy?
It's Thanksgiving.
I'm thankful for all of you, but I need to tell you something.
I don't want to hear this.
It's time to finally shed the lies, to tell the truth. Mom, Dad.
I'll get the eggnog.
This family is gay.
Billy!
I knew it.
My God.
Gay?
You know it's true. All of you know.
No. Billy, you're just confused.
Confused, Mom? We live in Concord. Look at us. Sammy's fascination with reality TV. Tammy drives a Volvo hatchback. Dad collects butterflies, bunny coasters at Easter. Face it, this family is gay, and it's been gay.
I don't have to listen to this.
Dad, don't walk away.
I'm going to the rumpus room, drink my Brandy Alexander, and watch a Dave Matthews concert on pay-per-view.
Dad, listen to yourself.
I need a clove cigarette.
You couldn't be more gay right now if you had your hands down my pants.
That is enough. I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap.
Mom, that's totally gay.
Stop it. Stop it. He's right. We are gay. I think I've known it for a long time, since we went on that Disney cruise together.
What is so gay?
It was last year. Face it, this family is gay. Dad?
No, not in my house.
Okay, if you people are through, I have some real news, some great news.
I think we could all do some good news, Tammy.
Me and my girlfriend, Sandy, are going to be married.
Oh, honey, that's great. It's about time.
We are so happy for you.
Sis, that's great.
Congratulations.
I think this family just got a little less gay. Mom? Let's bring out that ambrosia. I think we need to celebrate.
The following portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by Independence.
You're an active junior senior. You hike, you bike, you ski, you paraglide. But you have a seriously loose bowel, and you hate being dependent on others. Consider switching from your current rear-end insurance to Independence. Independence is the super-absorbent super pad that allows you to be all you yourself can be. No more bossy nurses, fussy caregivers, or disgusted friends and family. Yes, with Independence, you yourself can change yourself.
Hi there, old timer. Looks like you're experiencing an involuntary colonic event. Want a little semi-professional TLC to help you minimize the unbearable shame of public incontinence?
No thanks, little lady. I'll TCB all by my ownsome, thanks a bunch. With just a flick of these two trusty tabs, I myself can change myself. I step out of my slightly soiled old pair of Independs.
Oh my God, what's he doing?
And into my clean, pristine, sweet-smelling new pair of Independs. Dispose of that, will you, honey?
Ah! Are you kidding?
Independs come in several fetching styles, like Tommy Bahama's Senior Megathong and Billabong's Bondi Beach XXL Surfer Briefs. For your fun, active, junior-senior lifestyle, enjoy the peace of mind that passeth all misunderstanding. With Independs, every day is Independs Day.
It's time to meet the Final Edition Radio Hour's chaplain and end times advisor, Pastor John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. Here's Pastor John with another End Times God podcast.
Today, why Christians must wipe out the environment. Folks ask me, Reverend, how come we need laws against witchcraft? Because the heathen practice witchcraft, and environmentalists are heathens. Witches and warlocks who worship the moon and trees. They hug trees and fornicate with them. They kidnap Christian babies with long-range magic and feed them to endangered species. The environment is heathen. Do endangered species worship the Lord and sing hymns and raise their children in the fear of the Lord? No. They sit around never doing a lick of work, naked as the day they was born, with their sex doodads banging around between the legs and fornicating with any female that comes down the trail. The environment is dark-sided. The environment sends us hurricanes, tsunamis, snowstorms, forest fires, floods, pestilence. Where does a plague of frogs come from? Or boils or black fly? From some fine Christian oil or coal company? No siree, Bob. They come from the environment. Without strip mining and clear cutting and bulldozing, without chemicals and pollutants and the Army Corps of Engineers, God bless their holy earth movers, we would be engulfed in a nightmare called the environment. Hungry, thirsty, cold and naked, having spotted owls and Canada geese pecking out our eyes, having our steaming entrails ripped from our bellies by polar bears and snail darters. Every single one of these heathen killers coming from where, brethren and sistren? Idaho? No, the environment. The Lord God gave us the environment to wipe out. The Lord wants a planet stripped of heathen trees and sinful species. Oceans emptied of fat, lazy whales and freeloading baby seals. He doesn't want to see a speck of green. Green makes the Lord see red. Green is the color of envy and witch vomit. God wants a spotless white planet, ready for him to destroy utterly when he returns. For the Messiah is coming, America. Wherefore, rejoice!
Are you sentencing someone to prison or going to prison yourself? Then you're missing the boat if you don't check out Dave & Buster's Maximum Security Prison near Chula Vista. Yep, the folks who bring you the South Philly Burger, Million Dollar Margaritas, and Dance Dance Revolution are getting into the corrections industry. We've got the only prison yard with a Drown the Clown game, and the cafeteria serves up the same pretzel dogs and Parmesan potato chips you've come to expect from a Dave & Buster's.
My name is Judge Brandon Forsyth with the Superior Court of California in San Diego. I have not been paid by Dave & Buster's Maximum Security Prison. I just happened to send all of my defendants there for long and harsh sentences. I have nothing to apologize for.
That's right, Your Honor. And you're not alone. We're turning Dave & Buster's all across the country into prisons to accommodate the many, many people who've been busted on DUIs after they drove out of the old Dave & Buster's.
I can't believe Judge Forsyth just gave me 40 years. And how the hell can I afford buffalo wings every day for the rest of my life? It's not fair. I'm innocent.
Hey, everybody at Dave & Buster's is innocent. But you're a lifetime customer now, and the rest is not our problem. So come on by Dave & Buster's Maximum Security Prison. We don't know why you're here, and we don't care. Bring money.
Excuse me, are you the commanding officer here?
Yes, I'm Colonel David Mustard. How can I help you?
I'm here to deliver 600 Abrams tanks.
I believe there's a mistake. We didn't order any tanks here.
No, you didn't. But the U.S. Congress says you're getting them anyway.
No. A 70-ton tank is completely unsuited to what we're doing out here.
But they'll still be helping America. You see, they're manufactured in various congressional districts, so these tanks safeguard the economic well-being of those districts and their congressmen.
Listen up. For the last 8 months, I've repeatedly requisitioned body armor. That's all we need here, so go back and get what we asked for.
Oh, I brought body armor. I've even taken the liberty of outfitting your troops.
Sir, the soldiers are ready for inspection.
That's medieval armor.
Made by the Corporation for Creative Anachronism in the 3rd Congressional District of Ohio, which is a swing state, by the way.
Will it stop a bullet?
For the sake of historical accuracy, no. But you're in good shape if the enemy attacks you with a broadsword. Now, where do you want us to put the aircraft carrier?
Aircraft carrier? We're an infantry unit!
And that's exactly why the enemy will never see it coming.
Of course they won't, because it's completely useless. We're landlocked. How the hell are you even getting it out here?
We're dragging it here with those tanks you don't want. You know, this represents a revitalization of the Camden shipyards. Isn't that something? Now, just sign here for the tanks, the medieval armor, the aircraft carrier, and 6,000 models of the solar system made out of pipe cleaners and packing peanuts.
Models? Who manufactures that?
My kids. Back up the truck!
In our series on First World Problems, the final edition presents Shame of the Family. Reporter Stone Peck has that story.
The Great Recession of 2007 halted many plans people had for their families. One such household is the Richardsons of Manhattan's Upper West Side.
Well, we laid out, I thought, a pretty realistic budget for getting Laura through college, but, you know, now, of course, everything's on hold.
How old is Laura now?
Almost 9.
Oh, then you still have a lot of time.
Well, not really. 9 is getting a little old for a cat.
Laura is a gray and white striped domestic short hair, upon whom David and Mandy Richardson had placed a great deal of hope and expectation.
I mean, a cat has a brain the size of a walnut. How do you explain to her that she...
She can't go to the good daycare center anymore.
Right, the good daycare, and we can't afford the Swedish veterinarian who's outside our coverage network.
And we can't afford riding lessons now.
You put your cat on a horse.
Well, I couldn't say no to her.
Childless, middle-class pet owners are in a desperate situation. Mavis Hitchens of Bernal Heights in San Francisco can no longer afford simple niceties for her 20 cats. And she says the government and social service agencies are simply ignoring her.
There has never been a time, ever in history, anywhere in the world, that has been as hard as it is right now for me. 10 years ago, I could pay to put them all in decent wedding gowns and bridesmaids' outfits, and I could still get the kittens properly baptized. Now look at them all, pitifully walking around in last year's shoes.
Would you say that this is worse than the Holocaust?
Yes.
When asked about cats in the middle-class safety net, Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, gave this exclusive response to the final edition.
Who is this?
So what do we tell our pets in this era of diminished expectations? As kittens, they were raised to believe they become whatever they set their minds to. Now, they are cats without futures, lying in the sun, chasing laser pointers. Useless. This is Stone Peck for the final edition.
And now, something the world has waited breathlessly for half a century, a definitive takedown of Robert Frost. Yeah. So back we go to sometime in the late 60s, somewhere in what was once Camelot, and the man who Jimmy Kimmel is turning into, Walter Cronkite.
Good morning. Today on our program, I will be interviewing 4-time Pulitzer Prize-winning poet and consultant to the Library of Congress, Mr. Robert Frost. Mr. Frost is now almost 85 years old, but he is still very young in his hopes and his dreams. Mr. Frost, why do you draw parallels to sports and games in your poems?
I believe that the world will end at the hands of man's pure competition with one another.
Well, don't you find that bleak, given how close we are to nuclear war with the Soviets?
On the contrary, I find it quite beautiful. The thought of an atomic flash followed by a mushroom cloud seems comforting. Like the sun's warmth on a fall morning in Maine, while smoke of burnt leaves rises on Pleasant Lane.
Right. Mr. Frost, you once said that poetry isn't much different than politics. Were you serious or pulling somebody's leg?
I was pulling somebody's leg. What I meant by that is that poets have as much fun as politicians do.
Mr. Frost is winking at me. Mr. Frost, this is being broadcast on the radio, so our listeners don't know what you mean by winking.
I mean philandering, Walter. Philandering.
I beg your pardon?
Fucking. Poets fuck everyone. Politicians fuck poets. And everyone else. Only one of us has orgasms all the time when we fuck because we have sex all the time.
I see your point.
No. You'd know it if you saw it.
Right. Two entendres. Mr. Frost, you once said that I'd rather die in Athens than live in Sparta. Would you explain what you meant?
I summed it up in my poem, The Road Less Traveled.
Pardon?
Why I'd rather live in Athens than die in Sparta.
And?
Have you read The Road Less Traveled?
Of course. I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
Anal, Walter.
What about it?
The Athenians practiced anal sex. I practice it as well. Although sex is a lot like poetry, practice makes perfect, and like my poetry, I'm pretty damn good at it.
Interesting. And what inspired you to write this poem about this topic?
Well, back at Theta Delta Chi House in Dartmouth, I was playing snooker. While explaining the rules to me, my date, she was a sex worker, said, "Easy pinker, tricky stinker."
Mr. Frost is winking again.
Christy insinuated the pink and brown billiard balls used in the game snooker are actually references to female parts. What did they teach you at Texas?
Perhaps another time, sir. Thank you for your time and insight, Mr. Frost.
Don't you want to hear more about how I was shown what that phrase actually meant?
No, and if I can help it, this interview will never see the light of day.
You'd better stick it where the sun don't shine.
After you, sir.
Why, thank you. Mighty kind of you to open the door for me.
That's an impressively sized duffel bag you're carrying into this office building.
Thank you. I see that you have an impressively sized duffel bag, too. I also noticed that we're both wearing all black.
Yes. You look very tactical.
Wait. Are you also here to commit a mass shooting?
Guilty!
Man, I thought it was just going to be me shooting up the place.
Are you headed to the third floor?
Yep. Wow. Two white guys are about to commit a mass shooting in the same place and at the same time. What are the odds? 1 in 30?
Hold the elevator. Hey, thanks, guys.
Sure thing. Hey, I really like your large duffel bag and your black tactical outfit.
I was just about to compliment your tactical outfits. Wait a minute. Are you guys about to commit a mass shooting, too?
We sure are.
This is crazy. Are you a team?
No, we just met in the lobby.
Unbelievable. Hey. Do either of you need an extra bump stock? I found a great deal on Amazon.
I got my own.
Me too.
How about a hand-drawn map of the building or some ballistic calculations?
Got my chicken scratch right here.
I drew mine on my forearm.
Wow. We sure did go to great lengths to make sure this indiscriminate massacre is a rousing success.
Okay, boys. Here we are. Anyone want to take the first shot?
How about the new guy?
Oh, jeez, I couldn't. Let's all shoot on a count of three, okay?
Okay. One, two...
Allahu Akbar!
Aw, man. So Someone else beat us to the punch.
Sounds like a fucking terrorist.
Whoa. I don't want my mass shooting to be associated with terrorism.
Me neither. Let's get back in the elevator, guys.
Should we try the fourth floor instead?
Who's on the fourth floor?
I think the NRA.
Works for me.
Yeah, me too.
And now, over to Washington, D.C.'s Constitution Avenue, home of White House Chief of Staff General John Kelly's newly founded Hunter College, where General Kelly himself is about to address the first graduating freshman class at the Hunter College School of Journalism.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, General Kelly, sir!
As you know, all members of the 2018 freshman class are either veterans with good military records or members of Gold Star families. What you don't know is that you young men and women in this lecture hall have been selected for the honor of becoming the next White House Press Corps.
Wow, incredible! I can't believe this is finally happening.
It's true. Congratulations for graduating summa cum laude than your peers from your intensive four-week training course in all aspects of gathering, evaluating, and distributing real news.
Finally! I can't wait to get out of there and really make a difference.
Yeah. Okay, before we head over to the White House for our first press conference, a pop quiz. First Amendment, Subsection 1. Speech, Freedom of, Bullet Point 1. Who knows bullet point one? Yes, Marine Staff Sergeant.
Freedom of speech isn't free, sir.
Correct. Bullet point two. Over there, Gold Star Mom.
The price of freedom of speech is that we owe absolute and unquestioning respect to elected authority and their appointees, sir.
Correct. Ma'am, I knew your dead husband, standing right next to me in Camp Fallujah when he was shot by friendly fire. Tragic. Great man. Great cook.
Thank you, General. He was my soulmate, my good shepherd, my sheltering wing.
Well, he was a whiz in the mess hall. His chicken tenders? Whoa! Okay, back to pop quiz. What is a White House talking point? Yes, Seaman First Class.
A White House talking point is the only admissible angle on a complex policy issue, sir.
Correct. And how does that differ from a softball question? Yes, Gold Star Bro.
A current softball question would be, mass shootings, what does the administration propose to do about the mental health of the shooters?
Excellent. I can tell you have all absorbed the very challenging curriculum here at the School of Journalism. You are now at liberty till 1500 hours, when you will attend your first White House press briefing. As you enter the press briefing room, you will be seated in seats formerly occupied by fake news media outlets such as CNN, ABC, The New York Times, HuffPost, etc., etc. As you leave, you will each report your real news findings to the approved representative of your organization, with strict instructions that they are to be published in full. Is that clear?
Affirmative, General, sir!
At all times, adhere to the Hunter College School of Journalism non-fraternization guidelines, especially should you be approached by members of the discredited fake news media who might be lurking in the Rose Garden or even picketing the White House. Is that clear?
Affirmative, General, sir!
Most important of all, remember, and where necessary, repeat to anyone who questions you the proud slogan of the Hunter College coat of arms. The pen is mightier than the sword, but not the gun.
The pen is mightier than the sword, but not the gun!
Quiet, please! I'd like to welcome to the White House and introduce to the nation our brand new White House press corps, who will finally be reporting the real news. Ladies and gents, stand up and take a bow. Come on, Hunter College team, on your feet.
General, question. Question over here.
Okay, forget the bow. Question time. Yes, Marine Staff Sergeant, New York Times.
Yeah, I have a question about the low level of care for wounded veterans.
That's General Sir to you, mister.
like the 1,400 wounded warriors who served in either Iraq or Afghanistan and lost all or part of their sexual organs. Because I'm one of them.
And Staff Sergeant, the first thing you learned in journalism school was that there will be no press criticism of me or the military while there are dead soldiers in Arlington Cemetery.
To hell with that. The VA announced as of today it won't pay for penis transplant surgery. Know why? From now on, they're only sending women into combat.
My answer to that? Dead soldiers!
I'm as good as dead, asshole.
General, President,
yes, Gold Star Moms, CNN.
Why is Trump cutting Gold Star Widow's benefits to pay for his rich friend's ginormous tax breaks?
Dead soldiers! Speaking of Donald Trump, lady, you're fired.
You can't fire me! I work for Jeff Zucker now.
Dead soldiers!
Why weren't you fired for losing the Iraq War?
Why did you lie to us about the free press?
Are you a closet Confederate?
Dead soldiers! Dead soldiers! Dead soldiers! Remember, the pen is mightier than the sword, but not the gun!
Has placed Washington, D.C. under martial law. Temporary measure. Suspended state constitutions of California, Oregon, New York, Massachusetts. Temporary measure. Fort Benning, Georgia, bound for. Marines securing the south side. Thousands of fatalities. Temporary measure. Approval rating up 58%. Oh my God, get out of here! What are you doing to her? No, please, no!
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Keith Saltahanes, Tony Hindra, Gil Barron, Ben Kirchner, John Gutierrez, Samantha Gerwitz, Barry Lank, Sean Ari Lehair, James Mount, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Jessica Park, Kurt Weitzman, Rachel Rauch, Andrew Danish, Candice Martellaro, Antu Shell, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, and Leslie Shapira. The Final Edition Radio Hour is written by Kit Lively, Samantha Gerwitz, Candice Martellaro, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Tony Hindra, Rob Gordon, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lank, James Mount, Gil Barron, Ben Kirchner, John Gutierrez, Jessica Park, Kurt Weitzman, Leslie Shapira, Melinda Hughes, Jeremy Rayburn, Steve Rosenfield, and Peter Kleinman. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio edited by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition Radio Hour, copyright 2014.